Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Here's what we spoke to the Green Party about today. Yesterday, the latest 6 monthly survey of housing support providers under the National Homelessness Data Project, or NHDP, showed that homelessness in Auckland has more than doubled in the year to September. The report also found that 14 of the 21 agencies interviewed reported an increase in homelessness. As well as this, Australia's ban on social media for children under 16 has taken effect, and according to an interim report into social media harm, a social media ban for children in New Zealand is also worth exploring further. And last week, the government announced the replacement of the Resource Management Act, or RMA. The coalition said its replacement will slash red tape and supercharge growth. For our weekly catch-up with the Green Party, I spoke to MP Ricardo Menendez March about the government's new RMA reforms and a potential social media ban in New Zealand. But first, we discuss the latest report on Auckland homelessness. What is the Green Party's reaction to the increased homelessness in Auckland and the figures released by the NHDP?
As we head towards the holiday season, it's a tragedy that the government has yet to take accountability for the fact that decisions such as restricting access to emergency housing have directly contributed to an increase in rough sleeping. And what is the saddest thing here is that the government has also refused to acknowledge almost over a year now, reports from the front lines who have told him and his government that things are getting harder as a direct result of government decisions. And at the end of the day, what we're talking here is people's livelihoods, young people who are growing up under homelessness. And this is something that is also completely possible to fix. And this is what we're committed to fighting hard next year to address it.
When you say things that have been done by the government that have directly made homelessness worse, what are you talking about specifically?
Absolutely. So there's a list. So the first one would be tightening the eligibility for emergency housing. So as somebody who worked the front lines and has supported people to get assistance from work and income before being an MP, I saw firsthand already how difficult it was for people to access emergency housing. People were already being asked to show that they had alternative suitable accommodation, and the government made it even harder for people to access emergency housing. The truth is that most people don't choose or aspire to live in motels. It's often a last resort for people. When you deny access to that assistance, often the only other place that will exist for people to sleep in will be the streets. But we've also got other decisions that the government has made, such as, for example, increasing benefit sanctions, which remove one of the few lifelines for people to make ends meet. And if you strip someone's ability to survive, they won't be able to pay their rent, and that ends up being a pathway towards poverty and eventually homelessness as well. So there are government policies that they've been warned that will make things worse for those that are already struggling to make ends meet, and the government has completely ignored those warnings and now is ignoring the accounts from the front lines that things are getting worse due to government decisions.
The report highlighted that government budgeted funding for homelessness support in the current year to June 2026 has reduced by $79 million compared to June 2025. What are the Green Party's thoughts on the reduced funding despite the increasing homelessness?
That it shows the government is more interested in spending billions of dollars for tax cuts to landlords, caving to the tobacco industry and to the fossil fuel companies, and addressing issues that our country faces, such as homelessness, low wages, the closure of our manufacturing industries, and the things that allow our economy and our communities to be well. And so the government's got their priorities upside down, and they are spending far too much money and resources on caving into big industries as opposed to helping out everyday people make ends meet.
Associate Housing Minister Tama Pōtaka said in a statement, "The report findings reinforce what the government knows of homelessness as a complex issue, and that the government is taking action to address the real issues." Do the Greens have faith in the government to fix the real issues as described by Tama Pōtaka?
Tama Pōtaka is being increasingly glib about the realities of homelessness. Sure, it's a complex issue, but at the same time, the solutions are not that complex. Often the solutions involve ensuring we have enough public housing, which this government is chronically underfunding and, in fact, cancelling many of the projects. It's about ensuring that people get the support that they need. That also means not making it harder to access emergency housing. And it also means ensuring that people have legal means to survive, which also means not cutting someone's benefits. And so I think hiding behind the idea that this issue is complex while actively undermining the services and the supports that exist to prevent and address homelessness just reeks of disconnect. And I think people can see through the glibness.
If the Greens were in government, what can you guarantee would be done to fix the growing homelessness in Aotearoa, New Zealand?
We would reverse the changes that the government has imposed that will make it harder for people to make ends meet. But also we're committed to supercharging our public housing program to ensure that we build enough public housing for everybody who's currently homeless and in the housing waiting list. We will also overhaul the welfare system and introduce a guaranteed minimum income so that students and people outside of full-time employment can live outside of poverty and can have the means to thrive. These are the commitments that we have made through successive elections, and we will fund them by taxing the wealthy few so that we can have services that people can access, like healthcare.
All right, moving on to the next topic. Australia's ban on social media for children under 16 has taken effect, and according to an interim report into social media harm, a social media ban for children in New Zealand is worth exploring further. My next question is, do the Greens support a social media ban for children in New Zealand?
We don't, actually. And this is one of those issues that is indeed quite complex, because the reality is the ways in which the social media bans have been implemented or are looking to be implemented here in New Zealand, for example, would rely on things like age verification. We know that young people are able to get around the systems in place to access social media, and the people who need to be held to account are actually the social media giants who have time and time again ignored expert advice on issues like how their algorithm is set up, how they moderate content to ensure that we're not exposing young people through the algorithm, for example, to harmful content on social media. And banning young people from social media won't actually go to the core and the root of the issue, which is how big social media corporations behave and the choices that they make that end up creating harmful online spaces for young people.
What can be done to regulate the tech giants, as you're talking about?
Better transparency and regulation of how the algorithm is used is a place to start. Increasing the use of moderation online, for example, would be another step in the right direction. Building literacy and around online harm is another thing that can be done. And at the end of the day, why banning isn't an option either for us is the reality that for marginalized groups of young people, online spaces are actually one of the few places where they can find connections. And we are ignoring the fact that for many young people, actually online spaces can be a safeguard when their lived realities outside of online spaces are simply unsafe or people don't have access to the connections that they need to be well.
When it comes to Australia's ban, what should we be watching to judge its viability?
Well, whether young people are actually able to circumnavigate the ban, which we're already seeing reports on, but it's also whether outcomes for young people end up improving in the medium term, because I don't think we have the luxury of just waiting to the long term to make a call. But this goes around, for example, reports of mental well-being, reports of whether people feel more or less bullied online, whether people have less harmful interactions, but also reports around how young people are connecting to each other and to the world that they're in. And we know that for queer and disabled young people, for example, the online spaces can be a really important space for them to find connection and to get a sense of being understood. And so these are the things we must keep an eye out and be willing to see through the nuances of this issue.
Okay, moving on to the final topic. Last week, the government announced the replacement of the Resource Management Act, or RMA. The coalition said its replacement will slash red tape and supercharge growth. My next question is, are the Greens happy with the coalition's RMA reforms?
So there's kind of two components to this, right? There's the urban planning component, and I think it is important to acknowledge that we haven't had good urban planning in this country for quite some time. And so we acknowledge that reform needs to happen in this space. But actually, the things that have prevented good urban planning often sit outside of the RMA. And what we're most concerned about the RMA reforms overall is the fact that they have completely sidelined our totality obligations, and they haven't actually committed to an adequate long-term view and protection of the environment. And so my colleagues, Julian Genta and Lansan, have been fighting in the House around this, but also to try and build consensus around the need to overhaul our RMA legislation to ensure that it puts adequate urban planning, environmental protections, and safeguard and turbidity at the forefront.
What kind of message do you think that sends to Māori in New Zealand that the government have chosen another decision that goes against Te Tiriti, especially when I think I saw Luxon say earlier this week that he was trying to enhance Māori rights in New Zealand as well?
I don't think anyone will believe Luxon when he says he's enhancing Māori rights when he's passed through the Regulatory Standards Act. He entertained the Treaty Principles Bill. He actively has championed and supported removing Te Tiriti clauses in several pieces of legislation. And when it comes to RMA reform, the important thing that to note around Te Tiriti and the connections to it is that at the end of the day, these are pieces of legislation that have to do with decisions on how we interact to our natural environment and to the land. And so when we take out Te Tiriti from those pieces of legislation, we're effectively sidelining the people who have kaitiaki rights over the whenua and end up making decisions that do not uphold the rights that Māori have over the land. And I don't think both the environmental protections and good urban planning are not mutually exclusive to looking after Te Tiriti. And this is why this is so tragic, because the government has chosen to sideline our obligation to Te Tiriti under the guise of better urban planning.
The government is claiming the environment will still be protected under the new reforms. Do you agree with that, or has this made it harder to protect the environment?
This has made it harder to protect the environment, but more than anything, I think the government needs to come to terms with the fact that overall the track record on environmental protections is increasingly poor, and the long-term impacts of weakening environmental protections will be felt through generations to come, whether it's through lesser access to safe drinking water, to swimmable rivers, to having the biodiversity in our oceans that we need to ensure that we can keep our species safe and that we can keep having access to kai moana. But also, you know, we're seeing already the impacts of our lack of adequate wastewater infrastructure by mussel farmers having their livelihoods being put at risk due to contamination in our oceans. So these are all things that have been made worse under this government, and the longer we keep those problems, the harder they'll be to fix.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March on the latest report on Auckland homelessness, a potential social media ban in New Zealand, and the government's RMA reforms from last week.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.